So the Medrash tells us, "B'shlosha dvarim nitna haTorah b'midbar b'eish uv'mayim." We know that the Torah was given in a midbar, and it was also associated, as we'll see, with eish and mayim. Medrash says, "B'midbar dichsiv v'yavau midbar Sinai." The midbar is obvious, right? They came to midbar Sinai, to the Sinai wilderness. And the Torah was given by Eish dechsiv ahar Sinai ashon kulo ki yarad alav Hashem ba'esh. The mountain was smoking. Hashem had descended upon the mountain in a fire. Whereas the Mayim, the Medrash says, b'mayim dechsiv, as the Pasuk says, gam avim notfu mayim, the clouds as well dripped water. And of course, the mountain was shrouded in clouds. So there was fire, and there was water, and there was wilderness. And the Medrash concludes with a remarkable comment, ma'elu b'chinam la'olam, just as water and the sand of the desert and fire are essentially free items, aftivrei Torah b'chinam la'olam, so too the Torah is freely available to anyone who wants it. U'biyar inyan zeh. So let's understand. Tonight we'll offer two different approaches to midbar, eish, and mayim. Ki roi shetinasein haTorah be'elu shlosha. We need to try to understand why is it that the Torah was given in the context of these three things. Ki haTorah eina misyacheses la'adam. Ki ha'adam bal geshem. Ve'ilu haTorah hi sichlis. On the one hand, we've explained many times that the Torah is actually the perfect fit for us as Jews, for our souls. On the other hand, we've acknowledged many times how imperfect and how unnatural it is to combine a Torah which is pure spirituality with a human being who's a Baal Geshem, with a person who has a body. As the Maharal explains in the Nesiv HaTorah, that without these three prerequisites, Midbar, Eish, and Mayim, there couldn't be a merger between Hashem's Torah and our physical bodies. The gap between them would be too wide, would be too significant. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah in the context of Midbar, Eish, and Mayim. Because we are human, we are Baal Geshem, we have physicality, and the Torah is sichli, is spiritual. Right? Again, seichel in Maharal language is a code word for neshama dik. It's from the neshama, it's from the world of the spirit. And therefore the Torah has no connection to a person at all. Because of the great separation of Torah in its many levels of loftiness from a person, v'him of delas min adam, and therefore in that sense it is totally separated from a person. U'lakach nitna haTorah be'elu shlosha dvarim, and therefore the Torah, again, had to be given through these three modes of midbar, eish, and mayim. Ki kol elu dvarim him hefker la'olam, because all three, water, fire, wilderness, are all essentially hefker. They're ownerless to the world, and therefore they are not. They are not bound, in a sense, to the world. And therefore, since these things, again, they're important parts of our life, but because they operate, so to speak, independent of man, so therefore they're not uniquely connected to man. And in a sense, the Torah is also not connected to man. It's transcendent, and we're very much flesh and blood. And anything that is not intimately connected to a person is separated, is nivdal, is separated from the person. Okay, so let's delve into these three things. V'zeh ki gimel b'chinos yesh l'Torah. These three b'chinos, these three expressions that exist within Torah, shemitzad elu shlosha b'chinos ein haTorah misyacheses la'adam. These three things, which again are so much a part of the Torah experience, and yet, in a certain sense, they operate in a way that is really beyond humanity. Habachina ha'achas, let's talk about one. The first one on our list is schar v'hatov. The fact that there is reward and the fact that there is goodness that comes from the Torah, sheyesh b'Torah. Ki atov sh'Hashem yisbarach nosein al yedei shmiras haTorah hu tov eloki. Because the goodness that the Torah, that Hashem gives to us by way of guarding the Torah, is a spiritual goodness. Ve'eno tov tivi shu roi la'adam. Rak tov eloki. It's not the type of goodness that a person, again, a human being of flesh and blood, would typically desire. But it's the type of goodness that is what? That is a spiritual goodness. It's a transcendent goodness. Asher hatov ha'eloki hu nivdal min ha'adam legamri. It's the type of reward then again, it's like olam haba. It's something that speaks to the soul and doesn't really jive with our bodies, with our humanity. Ukamosha timsa b'torah. Ki aschar shenose in Hashem yizvarach hu shelo b'teva v'shelo kumin hago shel olam klal. And that's why so often we see that the reward of the Torah is not really in accordance with the minhag ha'olam at all. It doesn't really fit with the world. Okay, and that's, again, is to highlight the fact that what? That Torah is not really on a certain level connected to the world. It's above the world. Well, lefichach nitna ha'torah b'mayim. This is like water. Water represents the schar and the tov and the goodness of the Torah. By the way, the Ramban in this week's Parsha, Bechukosai, by the Klalos, the Ramban emphasizes this idea that the bracha and the klalos of Torah don't really make a lot of sense to us. How is it that a person, you know, commits an act of chilul Shabbos, right, and the penalty is so severe? It doesn't seem like he did anything that was so terrible. You want to tell me a person commits an act of murder, a person commits an act of theft? There are certain areas of the Torah that are more rational to us. There are other areas of the Torah where the reward or the punishment don't seem to necessarily add up. But that's like mayim. Why is that like mayim? Shemayim heim tov b'chol makom. Because like the water, which is beneficial at all times, at all places, k'dichsiv ya'arov kamatar lichi tizol ketal imrasi. And Chazal explained, ma'amater chayim la'olam, just like water, just like the rain provides sustenance, life to the world, af Torah chayim la'olam, so too the Torah sustains the world. But that's, again, that type of relationship is hard for us to understand. That the Torah is so good that it gives life to the world? Why are these ideas able to give life to the world? It's something that is really beyond our ability to comprehend. U'me'achar sha'torah hu achayim, ein zeh davar tivi. And just like life itself is inexplicable in a certain sense, it's a chayim of being davuk to Hashem. It's the one who is the source of life, namely Hashem, that sustains life within this world, while at the same time being kind of above this world. So that's what Torah is. Torah, again, is very much a thing of this world, but it also remains above this world. And that's like the mayim, maybe like the rain that descends from on high. V'hefech zeh gam kein ha'onesh ala Torah, eino tivi. And I kind of emphasized this already, but really we were focusing on the reward a moment ago. Now we're talking about the punishments. The punishments of the Torah also are irregular. They're not natural. They don't necessarily, again, fit the crime. Shekol onesh haba b'Torah hu shelo b'teva v'shelo k'minhago shel olam. That the punishments of the Torah are also, they're not natural, and they don't necessarily, again, fit with the nature of our behavior in this world. And that punishment of the punishments for violation of Torah is compared to what? It's compared to fire. Kihu namar ala onesh, because with regard to punishments, Hashem is compared to what? A consuming fire. Ki Hashem alokecha eish ochla. That God can be like a burning fire. Kasher ba lipar me'oivav, when Hashem comes to collect payment or punishment from his enemies. So the rewards of Torah are unnatural, are irregular. The punishments of Torah are not natural. It's all shalom kimin hago sha'olam. It's a system of living, and the rules that govern it are not the way that a governing body of flesh and blood would have established the rules. So again, the fact that Torah was given with Eish and Mayim represents a certain elevated quality of Torah, that Torah is spiritual and man is physical. What about a midbar? What do we learn from the midbar? Umash nitna Torah b'midbar, and that which the Torah was given in the wilderness, moral etzem ha'Torah, that captures not the reward or the punishment of Torah, but the essence of Torah. What does that mean? That's why the midbar is the most, you know, obvious factor of Torah. The Torah is given in Midbar Sinai. Ki ha'mitzvos shabahim dvarim she'enam tiviyim, because again, as we've been explaining, mitzvos are not natural. Mitzvos are not logical. Because there are those who claim the Torah is just a very wise system of living. And that which the Torah prohibited certain types of fats, and that which the Torah, sorry about that, prohibited certain drinking blood, right? These are health concerns. Kashrus is just health concerns. V'davar zeh eino, says the Maharal. No, 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 not at all. Ki lekach nitna Torah b'midbar. The Torah was given in a place outside of the place that humans typically live. Ki amidbar einam gedelim bo hadvarim ativim. Because a desolate wilderness is not a place to grow natural things. In other words, the Torah is not natural, the Torah is supernatural. U'kamosha be'arnu lifneza. Ki lekach amar ki ayam barach. Haharim rakdu. The water fled, and the mountains danced. Kamoshin is bar lamala. That all of these descriptions, again, of the world responding to the Torah, using all sorts of human expressions to describe what the world was feeling when the Torah was being given, or when Hashem was revealing Himself throughout history. Zamora ki ein haTorah tivis klal. All of these expressions, regardless of how you understand dancing mountains and water fleeing, but the bottom line is, all of it highlights the fact that when the Torah is present, when Hashem's word is present, the world is not operating within the natural order of things. And this itself is, again, the essence of what it means that the Torah was given in the Midbar. Lomar, ki ein haTorah das tivi. That is to say, the Torah is not natural law. And the same thing is more or less expressed through fire and through water. Water and fire. Kimi'achar she'ina Torah das tivis, because the Torah is not, again, natural law, v'lakach, and therefore, the schar, the reward for Torah, is not natural. Because the Torah is not natural law, the Torah is compared to fire. The punishments of Torah are also not natural. So, klal hadavar, the bottom line is, says the Maharal, ki elu gimel dvarim, heimorim al etzem mitzvos haTorah, Va'aschar va'onesh. The fact that the Torah is given in a wilderness alludes to what? To the essence of the mitzvot of the Torah, that they are like the wilderness, which is what? Which is not a place of natural growth. It's a place where, again, naturalness does not thrive. And that highlights the fact that Torah is not regular, it's not natural, it's not b'derech hateva. And then the schar, which we said is the water, and the onesh, which is the eish, Shekol elu shlosha dvarim einam tivim. All three of these things are not natural, again, in the way that they are associated with Torah. Okay, but let's go one step further. V'yesh lefarish gam kein, ki yesh leTorah gimel b'chinos hamechulakos. But furthermore, we can explain that the Torah is divided, subdivided, into three categories, three conceptual categories. She'ein b'china zos, Kamoha Acheres. Each one, again, is not like the other. What does that mean? Vizeh. Ki haTorah kol davar shaba hu tov ba'atzmo. Let's talk about three ways to appreciate Torah. On the one hand, you could say the Torah is the tov itself. The Torah is so good. But is the Torah just good? If I told you, Shlomo, I have a good idea for you, right? So you could say, Moshe Tzvi, thanks, but no thanks. It may be a good idea, I'm not interested in it. The Torah is a goodness that you're not, it's not optional. It's not if you're, if you want to tap into that good thing, you can choose to do so. It's also a chiyuv. So on a certain level, we could start off by saying, the Torah is what? Is good. Ki nemar kaved es avicha v'esimecha, v'zavar zehu bevadai tov mod. And honoring parents is tov mod. That's a good idea. That's a good system. Makes a lot of sense. But it's more than that. When we call makom, al tachshov, ki davar zeh, mashenemar b'torah, kaved, hu tov, ve'inu mechuyev ba'atzmo. Don't just say that it's good advice, and therefore what? And therefore you could choose to do it or not choose to do it. The Torah also obligates us to honor our parents. Kaved es avicha v'simecha is not an option, it's not a choice. It's an absolute responsibility. Kmo mi she'ose la'acher davar shehu tov, shehu tova, aval einu mechuyev. It's not like something that if a person, again, chooses to do it, he wants to tap into that good, he thinks it's a good idea, he can opt in or opt out. That's not what Torah is. Torah is not something that's eino mechuyav, Torah is mechuyav. So level one is the Torah is good. Level two is it's the type of good that whether you like it or not, you have to do it. Davar ze eino. Aval mitzvos haTorah einam kach. Sha'tov shu b'Torah kol davar mechuyav legamri. The tov, which is the Torah, again, is not optional. It's something that you absolutely must do. Okay? Good. Ki lo signov hadavar hutov, Because when the Torah says, for example, don't steal, right? Maybe don't kidnap, whatever it may be, right? These are good ideas. Honor your parents, great idea. These are all very good ideas, right? Shelo yikach es shel acher, not to take that which belongs to someone else, is a very good idea. V'hu davar mechuyav u'muchach lios. And yet, it's a goodness that is also of necessity, both in the sense that it's necessary to uphold society, but it's also necessary regardless of whether you think it's good or not, because Hashem said so. V'od davar shlishi. And there's a third dimension to Torah. Shekol mitzvos haTorah heim elokim. That the Torah is, again, the word of Hashem. It's not just that it's good and optional. It's not just that it's type of good that you're actually chayiv, it's of necessity. It's more than that. It's not just good. It's not just necessary. It's godly. Ve'ein haTorah das tivis. And again, says the Maharal, there's nothing natural about it. It's not das nimusis. It's not what? It's not, culturally acceptable. It's not etiquette, right? Oderech Eretz, Lakiyam Ayishuv. It's not just a nice way, right? It says Derech, let's just say Derech. It's not Derech Eretz that to uphold the world. It's much more than that. Kamosha Amarnu, Kiksas Anashim Shachashru, Kiator Hi Nimus B'nei Adam. There are those who would think, like we spoke about back in Parachaf, those who claim the Torah's healthy society. That's all true. Avala Torah Hi Elokis. Shekol devara Elokim. We have to remember as we come to Shavuos in less than 2 weeks, we're not just thanking Hashem for giving us a Torah which creates beautiful Jews and a beautiful society and a sustainable society. It's much more than that. We have to recognize that the Torah is a system of living, that what? That's it's moira, it guides us to the ultimate good. Again, something we spoke about in earlier Prakim. That Torah is not just good, Torah helps us to achieve the ultimate tachlis, olam haba. V'yim hayu devra nimusim, and if the Torah was just what? If the Torah was just ethics and etiquette and a proper system of living, lo hayezocha al yadam la olam haba, then it wouldn't be the ticket to olam haba. So therefore the Torah is tov, the Torah is necessary, and the Torah is godly. Let's just see for another minute. Let's at least learn the first two categories. So therefore, corresponding to good, necessary, and godly, we have water, fire, and midbar. But mayim, water, as we explained, that the clouds were dripping with water, zeh atov, that represents good. Kihem gishmei bracha l'olam, just like the rain is good for the world, right? It's good for the world. It's gishmei bracha, waters of blessing. V'kach haTorah, hi tov hagamur. So too the Torah is also good for the world. Yarof kamatar lichi. Let my teachings drip down, right, like rain. V'amru chazal, just like rain is chayim la'olam, so too the Torah is chayim la'olam. So it's certainly good, but it's more than good. It's nitna be'esh. What does that mean? Shekol divrei Torah hei mechuyavim muchachim b'choizek v'tokef. Like a fire which is much more, you know, forceful. It's stronger than water. It's more powerful, ostensibly, than water. Lakach nimshach acher zeh ha'esh, sheyesh bo koach chazak. The Torah is not only a nice idea that you can opt into, but the Torah is demanding of a person. Kidichziv halo ko devarai ke'esh no'um Hashem. Right? My words are like fire. It's like a patish, that's yefose sela, like a hammer that's able to shatter a rock. Midam ha'torah la'esh, l'chozek sheyesh b'divrei Torah, the strength, the power of Torah. Right, that the words of Torah are of necessity. Again, it's not a good that you can just choose, but it's something that that has to be. And lastly, the Torah is what? Is godly. And that's compared to the midbar, but it's going to take a little bit of explanation. So we'll save the midbar Mirtz Hashem for next time. But again, these three qualities that the Medrash highlights being associated with Torah. Water and fire and midbar again represent schar, onesh, and the essence of Torah that operates outside of the normal boundaries of teva. And again, like we've been learning now, it also corresponds to the goodness, that's the water, the necessity, which is a little more strong, which is the esh, and then the godliness, which is represented, as we'll see, by the midbar. Okay, so let's stop here for tonight. Amir Tz Hashem. I hope next week we'll be able to finish up this this parak. Getting very, very close to Shavuos, Mirtz Hashem.